Here, the attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here on this broadcast each and every day. We always look forward to your comments. We look forward to your asking the questions, joining in the discussion in relationship to the subject of today. We're talking about today, when right is wrong and wrong is right. When right is wrong and wrong is right. What do we do? I believe that we need to think as a society, we need to think about that very seriously. Because what we're witnessing today, you would think that with what has taken place with the B-2 bombers and the neutralizing the nuclear potentiality for Iran, you would think that all of America would embrace that. That we would encourage that, that we would be rejoicing because of what President Trump and those in his leadership roles have done. But ladies and gentlemen, think about our president and his cabinet attempting to clear the swamp and drain the sewer and the events of the socialist Marxist Democrats and what they're saying and what they're doing. You would think that there would be the least little glimpse of what is taking place and somehow, some way, there would be satisfaction and benefits on it. Roger, I'm getting a real bad echo. I don't know if it's me or something else, but ladies and gentlemen, excuse me for the little technical difficulties or whatever's taking place, but we're hoping to clear that up. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that we have a president that's willing to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and carry out the task that needs to be done. As we look at the issues each and every day, I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. In Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for truth. Truth is the element that we need to recognize and embrace. And that's not happening, generally speaking, by the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left and the Marxist media that we hear today. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And much of what I'm saying now is an elongated monologue to get to the essence of where we're going. When right is wrong and wrong is right, how do we respond? What should we do? It was Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that is factually true today. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. You might disagree with it. You might not like it. It may be something that's contrary to your thinking, but truth is still truth, and we need to embrace it. I'm amazed that according to the research, I'm looking at the headlines of that research, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the article opens with this statement. According to Webster's Dictionary, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, real actualities. and the state of being, in fact, true. But 55% of millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That's simply an impossibility. It's an oxymoron. There's got to be a centrality of truth. There's got to be a focus on what is true. I've used this many, many times. But how do you go to a court of law and prosecuting a case if there's not a factual evidence of truth? Both sides, the prosecution and the defense, cannot be right. Both cannot have factual truth. Now, some attorneys might argue that. I understand it. But the whole point is, you've got to have a basis for truth to have any evidence of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. Are we willing? Listen. And it boils down to this in my book. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, are we willing to stand for truth, regardless of the results, regardless of the flyback, regardless of the rejection? Are we willing to stand for truth? And that's what we're asking today and each and every day on this broadcast. By the way, in just a moment, we'll open our telephone lines, and that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about backup equipment for the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, Old Glory. 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I say, you would think that somewhere in America there would be a modicum, a little small element of the media that would be applauding what President Trump has accomplished and sending the servicemen. They traveled by air, and the B-2 bombers, and the entourage of about 125 jets traveled 36 to 40 hours to get to the destination, to drop the ordnance, and leave the area. And there's been no media appraisal that's given approval and applause of what has been done. I find it absolutely, how would you say, disconcerting? I'm looking at a headline. It says, U.S. strikes completely and totally obliterated Iran's nuclear facilities, President Trump says. President Donald Trump announced on Saturday that the U.S. warplanes attacked Iran's three main nuclear sites, and in a bid to end the Islamic regime's nuclear weapons program, the American strikes have completely and totally obliterated the facilities, the president said. And he goes into great detail of what they had done, etc. But here's the essence. The whole argument, the whole point of contention, the all of media simply focused on, he said, totally obliterated. Someone leaked out a preliminary report from the Pentagon. And that leaked out preliminary report did not say totally obliterated, did not say totally destroyed, as it would in just simply a preliminary report. But as a result of that, the media now is hawking the fact that Trump says it's totally destroyed. And some of the socialist Marxist media, now with some of their talking heads, are saying, no, that Iran can rebuild those same facilities in just a few months and be back to where they were. So Trump has not done anything. Why should we be applauding Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I said, recently to a group, I believe Trump could walk on water and cure cancer, and they would find some rationale about it, that he didn't do it the right way, didn't say it the right way, or didn't say it, do it at the right timing. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, with the highly successful B-2 bombers that had gone out with what's called the bomb-busting ordnance, Iranian nuclear facilities in America and America and Israel should be much greatly thankful. And yet we find the Marxist media and all the Democrats outraged, saying nothing in a positive manner about what was done. I'm looking at a headline. The B-2 bombers with the bunker-busting Tomahawk missiles, what weapons did U.S. use to completely obliterate Iran's key nuclear sites? It goes into talking about this opening article says, B-2 bombers and the Tomahawk missiles and 125 jets. The main force behind the operation was the U.S. Air Force's B-2 Spirit stealth bombers, the only aircraft capable of delivering bombs powerful enough to penetrate Iran's underground nuclear sites. And then he goes on to talk about the strikes and what they had done and what they had destroyed, etc., etc., etc. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm regurgitating this, I'm restating this, I'm using this as some of my opening arguments, if you please, because of what we see taking place in America today. Nothing is said in a positive manner about the 36 to 40 hours of our airmen in the air and what they were doing, carrying out the mission that they'd been charged to do. And I use this as an illustration in speaking to the group in our church recently. What if these airmen had not been trained? What if the pilots had said, nope, I'm too busy, I can't go on this mission? What if all the B-2s had decided to, the pilots for the B-2s had decided that they want to take a different path? They all are set up and they have a pattern. The one that's giving the instructions tells them where to go, when to go, how to go. What if they had decided, I'm not going the same direction? What if the pilots had refused to follow the flight plan that was given to them? They didn't. They were trained, they were prepared, and they followed orders. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a good lesson in that for every Christian. We need to be trained, prepared, and recognize the enemy and follow the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, following his orders and directions in our lives, especially being salt and light in a decaying, darkened society. Ladies and gentlemen, A.G. Pam Bondi says, Iran nationalist and U.S. pose threat. Well over 1,000 entered illegally under Joe Biden. Attorney General Pam Bondi said well over 1,000 Iranian nationals entered the United States illegally between 2021 and 2024 at a House Appropriations Committee hearing on Monday. And ladies and gentlemen, they discovered it's more than that. It's about 1,500. And we know that most of the gotaways are several million. And out of that, we have several thousand of the Iranians in America. And according to the best report from Pam Bondi and from Kash Patel, FBI and the DOJ, we're told that at least about 1,000 of them are in what's called sleeper cells, waiting to stand up and respond and to retaliate because of what's been done in Iran. Now listen, I'm praying that it never happens. I'm praying that it doesn't come to fruition. But ladies and gentlemen, we stand in a position today as a nation, with our foundations being destroyed from within. We stand as a nation, the potentiality of being undermined from within. And I said just very recently, and I'll repeat for you, our audience today, go back and look at the history of the Roman Empire. They were not destroyed from outside forces. They imploded from within. Imploded from within. And I think that we can say very clearly and definitely when we see the morals, ethics, and the values that we hold as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots, when we see those things being undermined, torn down, and destroyed, when we recognize that even good is called bad, I'm reminded of the text in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's taking place in America today. That's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, being promulgated by the Marxist media. Listen, I'm a news freak. I watch news. I listen to news. I follow news online. I follow news in print. I follow news on television. I like to see global news. And I am absolutely amazed, saddened, and shocked that all can be talked about last evening, the past couple of days, and on the early morning news was how President Trump had failed to do what he said he had done, when yet the Socialist Marxist meeting, the Communist Democratic Party, had said nothing about the need to stop the Iranians with their nuclear weapons that was allowed under Obama, was allowed under Joe Biden, and because President Donald Trump made a promise in his run for office that he would stop it, and he's done that. Now, I don't know what else the Iranians may have up their sleeves. I don't know what they may do in relationship to rebuilding. I don't know how fast it could be, but I can tell you one thing, based on Pete Hegseth and the Pentagon briefing this morning on television, a 45-minute briefing, I can tell you they showed video footages of the test of the bunker-busting bombs, the test that was shown that they had performed in the preparation for an act just as has been carried out against the nuclear devices in Iran. I can tell you it's an impossibility for the nuclear weapons not to have been neutralized, annihilated, totally obliterated, the term that President Trump used. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the Marxist media, the Democrats, outraged over the bombing. Nothing is said about the good that has been done and brought about as a result of it. Again, I quote to you Isaiah 5:20, woe, the word woe in a good translation is calamity. So God is pronouncing calamity upon them that call evil. So the little word poneros means bad, worthless. Call evil good, kelos honorable, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We see that happening today in America. We need to be concerned about it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that what we're seeing in total relationship to that, we see clearly, clearly, clearly today that a good example of the chiding and condemning that we're witnessing is when our Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, had a Bible study and prayer, and in his prayer meeting at the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth called on Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and the Marxist media, the Socialist Democrats, have gone bonkers because of it. So it's not just the argument about the bunker busting bombs and whether or not they were successful. The whole argument, the whole fight, the whole battle is a spiritual battle, a demonically inspired battle, to battle against anything that is good, anything that is honorable, anything that is God-pleasing. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
That's straight on point. You are, I'm telling you. And I appreciate your program, and I'm going to support it. Look here, they are so crazy, the Democrats, because they would rather have America burned down so they can have control of the assets. Mm-hmm. But I say it like that.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, Dr. Youngblood, you are dead on point. I'm going to tell you something. I know they are idiots. Please forgive me for saying it like that. But they are idiots.
I believe you used the right choice of words. Go ahead.
They are idiots.
Because, well, you know, so that we can put that term in the right perspective, the behind the scenes with the Islamic jihadist, they say of the Americans that call them simply peaceful people, they the Islamics say that the Americans that think that they are peaceful are useful idiots. That's what the Islamics call Americans and other nationalities that embrace what they do and what they say and say that they're peaceful. So that term is correct in the part of the vocabulary that explains what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell you something else. If we as Christians do not wake up, we are going to be destroyed.
Absolutely.
Because you got sleepers there. got super cells over here that are ready. I pray to God that they don't, on the 4th, they don't do anything. But
well,
I think they might try to do something.
Well, it is my fear that we're going to see what I would call a 9/11 type event, yes, to wake the Marxist media and the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats up. But Kenneth, the main thing that is my emphasis that I want our listeners to understand, it is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Christians that must stand up, speak up, that must be the salt and light. I'm looking at a headline that's very fitting at this juncture in our conversation. Why the Church, not the state, must lead in the cultural transformation. This article reads in part, as many as us have been predicting for years, America is now witnessing a major pushback against a radical cultural agenda that overplayed its hand. Nowhere is it clearer than in the current administration's decision to axe, that is to cancel, Pride Month in June and to replace it with the Title X month. And it goes on to talk about that. It says in the article, so not only has Pride Month itself been rejected officially by the White House, but designated June, titled 9 month, the administration is declaring war on radical transgender activism. All that is good, all that is healthy, all that is positive in the terms of helping our nation again regain some level of moral sanity and all Americans still entitled to equal protection under the law, without the in-your-face celebration of the LGBTQ sodomite month of June, and it goes on and on. So very succinctly, the Church is the one that needs to lead in that. And I'm thankful to see President, and I don't know President Trump's heart. I don't know his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, if he's truly been saved or not. If he is saved, he's still immature as a babe in Christ, though he's 78 years old from the human standpoint. But I'm thankful that he says that he believes that God spared his life for him to do what he's doing in delivering and helping America to survive. I'm thankful for his position. Okay. I'm thankful for people like Pete Hegseth that's willing to pray publicly in the name of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go ahead.
Look here. What is wrong with our mayor? She is, I don't know. I ain't gonna lie. She's like a doo-doo-doo, da-da-da.
Well, the problem is you have to recognize it as a Democrat. She's simply following the Democratic playbook. You recall when Kamala Harris was running for office, she had Kamala to come into Jacksonville and speak for her and embrace her and let Kamala know that she was pulling for her and that she was voting for her. We've got a Democrat city. We've got a blue city. We can't expect any different, but we can expect and require and pray that Christians, conservatives, will speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen, that we will push back.
But how can we become a sanctuary city with this mayor we got, and our governor said no, Florida would not be a sanctuary state?
Well, one of the things that's needed, and I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it, and then I'll let you go, but one of the things that we need to do as conservatives in Duval County, as Christians in Duval County, we need to email, call, telephone our legislators in Tallahassee and the governor's office and the state and the attorney general's office, asking them to please investigate our mayor and the city of Jacksonville that is confrontive, that says, basically says, I'm not going to obey the state law that says that you cannot do what she is doing. She somehow, some way, feels just as though she can do as she pleases without any responsibility or obligation to obey the state law. She is doing the reverse, contrary to what the law requires. She's going contrary to her oath of office to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the laws of the state of Florida. She is rejecting the laws of the state of Florida. So it is my opinion that the Attorney General needs to get involved. It is my opinion that the governor needs to get involved. It is my opinion there needs to be a full-fledged open investigation. And the only way that's going to happen is if there's enough listeners that will call, email, or in some way get in touch with your legislators, the Attorney General's office, and the Governor's office, asking them to do something about it. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. It deserves everyone,
thank
every
you,
Christian,
sir.
Every conservative. Keep praying, keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, the subject, the issue that we're talking about, when right is wrong and wrong is right, we're looking at the identification of what is in the scripture in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We see that taking place today. Here's an article that explains that clearly. Articles of impeachment filed against President Donald Trump. This is just in the past few days. Texas Representative Al Green introduced an article of impeachment against President Trump on Tuesday, accusing him of bypassing Congress before ordering military strikes on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. Green argues that by launching the attack without notifying the or obtaining authorization from Congress, Trump acted unilaterally and without provocation, transforming what should be a democratic process into a show of authoritarian power. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a man that somehow, some way, the people in Texas in his district elected him to put him in office. That's very obvious. As our previous caller used the fact that it's an idiot. He's a useful idiot. He's being used by the left. And now here's President Trump trying to do what's right for America, to protect America and protect Israel. And as a result of it, there's articles of impeachment. It's already been introduced. This article says, according to the resolution, there was no immediate threat to America that would have justified the use of force. That is the... how'd you say, the largest lie that I could read. I don't know what playbook Al Green is looking at, but it's certainly not the one that is to protect America and American interest and Israeli interest. Said there's no immediate threat. The threat's been there throughout the Obama years and throughout Joe Biden's years, and especially greater threat as a result of not putting a stop to it years and years and years ago. The greater threat, with the borders being open, allowing 20 to 25 million illegal invaders coming into America with the sleeper cells that could arise and try to tear down and destroy America at any given time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about when right is wrong and wrong is right. What do we do? How do we respond? I believe Davis is on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, this is exactly right, and I commend our president for doing what he did. He swore that he would protect our country from terrorism, domestic and foreign. And now we've got so much domestic terrorism, I think he needs to do a blanket arrest on all those that are opposing what he's done, and put them in, send them to Alcatraz. Don't wait till Alligator Alcatraz is completed. That's about $45 million to do that. Just send them on over to Alcatraz. And I believe the scriptures tell us, said that woe unto them that say good is bad and bad is good. And also, he says, let judgment begin at the house of God.
Absolutely. And Davis, you're right on target. May I just express personal feeling? I believe that every problem we see in America today, politically, whether we see it on the left or the right, and with the Marxist media, and with the social evils that's taking place, I believe it's as a direct result of silence in the pulpits for the past 50 to 60 years. I recall, not in my lifetime, but I recall reading the history back in the 17th century, the 1700s, when pastors would preach a scathing message on Sunday in the pulpit about the leadership, political leadership. They didn't have telephone, telegraph, or anything of that nature then, and they would have it then printed and posted in the city square so that everybody could see what the preacher said in relationship to scathing and castigating the political leaders that were doing the wrong thing. We need to get back to the day that Scripture stands up and speaks up from the pulpits, and it's not a pastor being afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. Davis, you're exactly right. We need to go back to the fundamental basics of what does the Word of God say, being obedient to it. Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we're going to continue as we face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.